Caster here with my main man, Kobe Acosta, and here at The Hive, we know it's only Sunday morning, but we got one question for you. Where the hell are you? This is Kit Casper coming to you with the round one results in the Vampire League. Former one-time vampire Garlic Jackson defeated the freshman phenom Hut the Stud in a battle of the ages, except Zach forgot a quarterback. Garlic Jackson moved on to the finals with a score of 287.28 to Hud the Stud's 183.0. And in the Battle of the River Valley Boys, intimate, close friends, Mr. Solo Dolo and the Bonifex Trees squared off in a battle that was back and forth for two straight weeks. The number one overall seed, Bonifex Trees, failed to adapt his roster to injury needs in week two of the matchup, and Chase moved on to the finals, scoring 265.62 to the Bonifex Trees, 198.84. Four other teams squared off in the consolation ladder, but nobody gives a bleep. That does it for the Vampire League as we square off for a two-week championship battle between Garlic Jackson and the Bonifex Trees. Throwing it over to Colby Digital Surround Sound Acosta with the results of the Ray Lewis League. Kit Casper, over and out.
Cat the kitty cat. It was a great week in the Ray Lewis League. In week 16, we decided who was going to make their way into the week 17 finals of the Ray Lewis League. It was the number one seed, Derek the Anal Fisters, who were victorious over number four seed, Jay Moneybags, 139.4268.30. And in the two versus the six seed matchup after an upset, Zeha the Stud upsetting Chase last week in week 15, came in, scored only 81.5 points, and he loses to the number two seed, Scotty Tunati Ballin. So the two guys that got the bye find themselves in the championship this week, going on to decide who's going to be champion of the 2023 Ray Lewis League. In terms of finding out who's going to work their way up through the consolation bracket, well, you have to wait till Quinn gets interested in talking about that, making that an important observation, even though it has no weight in the all-time rankings. So after that, we've got one question for you here at K-Vamp. That's, where's the honey at?
And we're back, Quinn. We're out here doing the Lord's work, grinding the podcast. And things are getting down to the needy greedy. I'm talking championships. We got two leagues that are going to call it quits after this week. 1 week and done in the Vampire League. They got 2 weeks to determine a champion. And when you're waving the good book in front of me, you got the holy water. It was enough to scare away the vampire, but your holy water was not enough to take down the ultimate sinner, Mr. Solo Dolo, in the Vampire League. Bell in the semifinals, we've got a matchup between Curtis Jackson after he defeated Z-Hud, the quarterbackless one, in their semifinal affair. We got a two-week battle to determine who's going to replace Jackie Daytona. It's the Vampire next season. You're correct.
Daniel,
there was not a question in there.
Correct, Daniel. Big two-week up here coming on. Now with Mr. Solo Dolo and Curtis Jackson, the Garlic Man himself. We're going to see if this little gingerbread house man can run all the way to the championship. Daniel, squad for squad, it's just playing out the two best squads in the Vampire League, minus the vampire himself, are in the championship. That's just bar none. There's no one screaming that they should be there with the depth and the strength that Chase and Kurt's teams have at this point in the postseason. Kurt, Amari Cooper, 51 points last week. You know, these huge scores have been a part of both Kurt's team and Breece Hall for Chase's team. You know, I think that's the biggest observation. I think we can say that the best teams made it to the championship. It's going to be a stellar, star-studded event in terms of a fantasy perspective, both teams. You know, if I had to look right now, the projections won about a 7-point favorite over towards Kurt. I think it's a toss-up, really. I think it's a 50-50 matchup over 2 weeks. There's some really great side-by-side analysis that we're going to look at here. And I think we got to start first and foremost with the quarterback situation of both teams. You know, that's something that affected not only the third place finisher in Zach's team, but also affected the first place finisher in my team throughout the season with Justin Fields. But in this case, Both guys will have Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott for Kurt's team, Lamar Jackson for Chase's team. How do you feel about that?
When it's a battle for the world championship in the Vampire League, and it was also a battle for the world championship in the space race, which began in the late 1950s between the Soviets and the Russians. Russians, obviously, the first to exit the atmosphere and enter outer space was Sputnik 1, but it was really at Sputnik 2 that the space race heated up, and that's because the Soviets decided to send a space dog named Laika inside of Sputnik 2, which was launched into low orbit in 1957. The United States, unable to send an animal into space at that time, thus began Operation Point Break, timing it with a 30-year storm out of Bells Beach, Australia. Operation Point Break set out to see if it could send a dog, German Shepherd named Bodie, on a surfboard from Australia all the way across the Pacific to San Francisco. Operation Point Break did manage to successfully launch Bodie from Bells Beach in November of 1957, timing it with the 30-year storm. However, without advancements in GPS tracking that they have today, Bodie was lost at sea approximately 10 days later, and that surfboard never arrived in San Francisco.
Well, Daniel, I think you're right. Lamar Jackson over the next 2 weeks is going to have a clear advantage over Dak Prescott just in the rushing game alone. In the last seven games, Lamar Jackson, his lowest rushing attempts has been 7, which is the highest amount that Dak Prescott has attempted this entire season. And the fact that we're looking at potentially 10 rushing attempts from Lamar Jackson in the next 2 weeks, 20 total over 2 weeks, you know, that is just a lot of points that you're not going to find anywhere else on the board. And so I think right there it decides that from the beginning, I'm giving Chase an advantage in the quarterback position. But we have a really great running back room to talk about. We've got Bijan Robinson and Saquon Barkley for Curtis Jackson's team. And then we've got Breece Hall and Jahmyr Gibbs for Solo Dolo's team. Where do you sit for these two running back rooms?
Yeah, it's a lot of high variance talent coupled with inconsistency across both teams. Breece Hall, we saw it week one. This guy's capable of breaking up 90-yard runs at any time. Jahmyr Gibbs, touchdown sniper from David Montgomery, some might say, but another big play back. And then when you look across the table, Bijan, boy, his usage is just not what we really could have expected. That whole Atlanta offense is really an enigma when it comes to fantasy football. Saquon having to do it mostly on his own all season long. We've seen, I think, 3 or 4 quarterbacks hand him the ball so far. I just worry that Chase's guys are on teams that have been a little bit more consistent, and these are guys that have seen increased touches throughout the season. Speaking about Hall and Gibbs. Robinson, I just don't trust anybody from Atlanta at this point in time. And Saquon's got that dreaded red Q next to his name, currently questionable as we record on Wednesday after Christmas. So it really pains me to say it, but I think the point rankings over the season play out, I guess that's the point ranking of who they're going against. But I think Hall and Gibbs have the advantage over Robinson and Barkley. I like their high-end potential more than Kurt's backs.
Correct. And so let's jump down to their flex position. Chase is choosing to go with a running back, Austin Ekeler. Is this guy high variance again? Question if he's got much left in the gas tank. Where do you see, have you watched Ekeler play? You know, I saw him get injured this year. We were one of the first people to on the injury early in the season of Austin Ekeler. I mean, is he back to 100%? Can we expect, you know, the projections that ESPN has given of 15 points for each one of his running backs, for Chase's running backs? You think that's going to happen?
I would not be surprised to see Chase swap out Ekeler for somebody else in that flex position. Because I think a lot of times Chase and I see eye to eye in terms of hot streaks, cold streaks. And Ekeler's numbers don't look great over the past, if you take a sample size of, say, the past 7 weeks. And now he's having to do it with Easton Stick instead of Justin Herbert. Going up against a Denver team that I think if they don't implode due to kind of the craziness going on behind the scenes, I think it could actually be a rallying point. And, you know, Denver just recently announced they're going to bench Russell Wilson for the rest of the season. So I think there's a potential for this Denver team to rally around. I think it's Jared Stidham. But I think this switch, we've seen in the past a lot of talk from Seattle and Denver both about Russell Wilson kind of being a prickly personality. So I think this gives Denver's defense as well as their offense a spark. And that spells bad news for Austin Eckler. If I'm Chase, I get Eckler out of the starting lineup.
Well, we've got another area I know to break down, and that's going to be the wide receiver room. If I had to jump ahead, Daniel, and put my two cents there. Yeah, I want to give the wide receiver room clearly to Kirk here. I mean, he has the more explosive players at this moment on his team, in my opinion, all through his bench, including he's got Waddle on the bench. He's got Brandon Cooks on the bench. You know, those two guys included with Justin Jefferson, Pittman, and Amari Cooper. I mean, those are the kind of variants I want to bring into a playoff matchup, because Pittman could eat up a lot of if he plays from Gardner Minshew. Obviously, Justin Jefferson the same, and Amari Cooper just came off his 51-point performance, a vampire killer performance to crown a vampire, if you will, to get him in the final round. So I give the wide receivers to him, and I also give the tight ends to him. He's got David Njoku over Dallas Goedert in the starting lineups. And then on our benches, we're talking Dalton Schultz and Evan Ingram. So Evan Ingram, last week, tell me about, in one sentence, tell me about how the Jacksonville game went for Jacksonville as a whole, if you watched it on TV as a spectator. How'd that game go for Jacksonville?
In one sentence?
Just in one sentence about how it did with Trevor Lawrence and the loss. Like, in one sentence, how'd the game go?
I did not watch the game last week with the Jaguars. One sentence.
Well, it went bad, if you might have heard, you know, everything for them, from interceptions to turnovers to injuries, everything went bad. 15 targets for Evan Ingram, 10 receptions, 95 yards, no touchdowns, still scored 17 points. He scored 30 points this year within this month. Kurt has great options for both of these weeks to go. And barring any crazy injuries, he might even go with, you know, he won't have to be nigh if Njoku or Evan Ingram go down in his next 2 weeks. So
I want to say quickly,
I give Kurt with,
I love, you know, his, I love, yeah, Njoku. In terms of having that player on a team in a vampire league at the end of the season, these are the types of players that you're trying to draft before the season, because obviously we don't have the waiver wire unless you are the vampire. So you're really trying to get a couple of hits, a couple of little chicken nuggets. You know, you got the sixth piece, but there's the seventh one in there. And in Njoku, this guy since week 7 has scored single digits one time. He's been in double digits every other week. Evan Ingram, tight end 5. David Njoku, tight end 6. And this guy has gotten, he started this rapport actually towards that last game with Deshaun Watson before he went out with the shoulder injury. DTR, right. Thompson Robinson looked to him during his stint. And then here it's been much the same with Joe Flacco over the last 3 weeks, 27 points, 26 points, 16 points. On the other side, Chase is leveraging Dallas Goedert from a Philadelphia offense that has not looked nearly as efficient or explosive as it did last year. I've got some concerns about, you know, I think they're a successful win versus loss team, and I think Jalen Hurts has a great fantasy floor. But I'm concerned about these auxiliary players. DeAndre Swift's production has gone down. Goedert obviously missed time with a broken arm, but we're looking for him to rebound a little bit more. Even A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown has not had a 20-plus point game since week 8. Prior to that, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the first 8 weeks. 0 since. 1 touchdown since week 10. So I think the Philadelphia offense is trending down, and I think that's something that Kurt really needs. He's going to overcome some of that star power at the other positions that Chase has.
Correct. Last section to talk about in the Vampire Championship this week is just the special teams. I mean, Brandon Aubrey hasn't missed one this year. And then Jake Elliott, he's only missed 2 this year for the kicker for Kurt. And the defense, you know, we got the Pittsburgh defense for Chase, and we've got 2 defenses on Kurt's team. So Kurt's got the depth to have more. Honestly, he doesn't have to run the same team 2 weeks in a row. I think we might see Chase's team 2 weeks in a row, and I think Garlic Jackson could have potential to make choices if he wanted. That's my opinion. But he's got Miami and San Francisco. So ultimately, I think it's pretty even both ways from the special teams. So it's really going to get decided up at the top. I think at the quarterback position, in the running back rooms, and you know, all throughout this high variance area. So Daniel, who do you give your big edge to? I give my edge right now to Kurt, because I think if we speak on one area, and that is how you play the, I think Kurt has clearly played the game the best in this last, month and a half or 2 months. You know, Chase went on a losing streak and woke up in the playoffs. And then in this case, you know, you talked about how and Chase are alike with thinking about hot and cold streaks and making your plans on who to start and sit there. I think that's great. I think he's really a good competitor, a worthy competitor for Kurt in the championship. But I think Kurt is just feeling it right now. And got him with the coaching nudge. So I'm giving it to Kurt as we start this two-week championship.
Boy, my heart wants Kurt. I do not want to pick Chase, but I just look at some of like the teams he had, or some of the players he has on his bench. Obviously, one of the biggest names that might stick out, White Culpepper, Josh Allen. Somebody that I think he can, you know, Allen's got a tough slate against New England this week. But I think he's somebody that is a high producer, and it gives Chase that flexibility. You're tipping your cap to Kurt for having. And he's still, you know, he lucked out and the Vampire traded him the number one kicker in the league. Without the Vampire, Chase wouldn't have Brandon Aubrey. And so that is a concern for Kurt, who did not lose to the Vampire. And thus, he wasn't a recipient of a gift, like a different kicker. And we see that Kurt's kicker is tethered to that Philadelphia offense that I was just kind of shaming. So we'll see. His production might be questionable as well. My eyes say Chase, but my heart says Kurt. And if I have to put it on the record, I'm hoping for the Vampire to stay in the family and Kurt to come back to the casket, brother.
Okay. So for our week, for our projection this week, we were both on Kurt. Let's see how it goes week one. Man, Daniel, the Ray Lewis League was just like we imagined it. We've got two byes, Derek and Scotty, you know, they got through and then they put up big numbers, both having the top scores in round two to advance to the championship over Z Hud and J Moneybags. You know, hats off to the people that lost in the semis who are competing for third place now in the Vampire and the Ray Lewis League. But really, you know, two of our top scoring teams of the year. And again, another star-studded lineup. Lamar Jackson, also a part of this game. Saquon Barkley, also a part of this game. Dalton Schultz is here. We've got a lot of guys that are kind of...
LeBron James has a pint.
No, I was about to say, we've got a lot of guys who are at the top of the leaderboard in terms of fantasy scoring points, like Christian McCaffrey, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I might even say Rashad White at this point with the scoring that he's been able to do consistently.
White's so, been good. Yeah.
So, Daniel, let's break down the Week 17 matchup. Now, this one is only 1 week, correct?
Yep, it's 1 week shootout.
You
know, if you're like, you know, say you're Vince McMahon, this is like the storyline that played out all winter long leading up to WrestleMania in spring, you know, in terms of the top two scoring teams, the top two seeds in the Super League as well. And these guys, again, you know, not to just throw it back to the Fox Fest, but these guys were John at Fox Fest. And lo and behold, I think we're getting the best bang for your buck finally we could have.
Yeah, I got to say, I think if we start, let's look at some savvy moves. First off, sleeper data for you, 91.5% average start and sit accuracy for Derek Bat of the Anal Fishers coming in against Team Two Naughty Ball and Scotty with only an 88.8% average start and sit accuracy. They both, though, average around 124 points. So let's points aside now. Let's just talk teams and fantasy. Daniel, Baker Mayfield versus Lamar Jackson, Chris McCaffrey versus a questionable Saquon Barkley. And then after that, it gets muddier and muddier until for Scotty, as Derek just has banger after banger as we go down. It almost looks like two competing set lists at a cover band show where like everybody gets the hits and the other one's got to play the B-sides. What do you think about that?
So yeah, it's these are the top two teams, and Derek was the one seed for a reason. But I do really like some of the stuff across the board, and it's something where maybe the eye test doesn't line up to the projections. So, like, say the RB2 slot, Rashad White for Scotty compared to Joe Mixon for Derek. We know that Joe is a Joseph Tyler Mixon, I should say, is a divisive figure here on the podcast. And somebody akin to Kenyon Drake, maybe James Conner's kind of becoming this now. Somebody who, whenever that running back is on your roster, they always seem to do you wrong. So, you know, good on Derek for taking Joe Mixon. But I think in a vacuum, I really, if I could go, say, week one in the Vampire, I'd rather have Rashad White than Joe Mixon over the season. And I think I would rather have him this weekend going against New Orleans. So I think that's a spot where we're sneaky closer than it seems. Also, a guy like Raheem Mostert in the flex for Scott against Keenan Allen on the other side. Again, Easton Stick-led offense isn't something that's getting my blood moving. But the lead running back on the Miami Dolphins, that's something I am interested in.
Yeah, so I got a question. I'm looking at the bench for Scotty Tinani. Because, again, we look at his lineup. Jackson, Barkley, White, DJ Moore, Sheed Rice, Darren Waller's questionable. Mostert's there. You know, obviously 21 touchdowns for Mostert. But, you know, it's not my strongest group. You're wondering how they get to the championship. Someone that's also on his roster, that's on Kurt's roster, is Michael Pittman. And I just want to take a question. You know, he's wide receiver 14 in the Ray Lewis League. But his floor is nice. I think he averages 13 points a game, but his floor feels like for sure 10 you could count on. And he goes above and beyond that, plays a bunch of snaps. Is he a guy that really helps these people get to the championship, but he's not really available right now? Do you think that if he was healthy, he would be starting in both squads, like bar none? Because I'm trying to see like what's gotten Scotty here, and I feel like Pittman's gotten him here, and he's not able to rely on him in this 1 week competition.
Yeah, no, I kind of like where you took that. It gives me the thought of, if we think about the cycling teams in the Tour de France, and how you'll have some of the guys that are like the rabbits, the ones that are setting the pace for the first part of the race, or, you know, they're there to help a better teammate until, say, the middle of the latter stages of the race, when they can make a surge up the standings. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I do think that if we look at the successful teams across these two leagues, I think we will see some kind of consistency of these, say, lower teens rated players at their position. We talked about Pittman being the wide receiver 14. People in that class that provide a floor and the consistency of availability are an incredible commodity in both leagues, you know, for different reasons. For the Vampire League, the best ability is availability. And then this 12-team Ray Lewis League, waiver wire's thinner than what you might see in a standard 10-team league. So I think that the big difference, got a little tongue-tied there, is what you led off with, that Derek's high-end talent is possibly just in a class above Scotty's high-end talent. So you can lead the race all you want in the first three quarters, but if you run out of juice down the stretch, you're not getting that. You're not getting the trophy.
I dig it. So if you look at Saquon Barkley and he doesn't play, you shift Mostert up out of the flex into the wide receiver position. So he's got a flex question in this potential thing, and also a questionable for Mostert at this moment too. So suggesting that one of his running backs doesn't actually play and he shifts him in, do you hope for Pittman to play? Do you run Kareem Hunt? You know, he's been getting as much touch as Jerome Ford has been getting for this Browns offense, and you know, he scored some touchdowns and they're playing the Jets. So where do you think that there's one more move for Scotty to make for this 1 week to actually put his highest scores, to get his accuracy to 100%?
It's an excellent flex question, Quinn. I'd love to flex a question back to you. This one came up in the break room today. It led off with a guy asking about cloning humans, and he asked if I got a clone of myself, would it have the same scars as I do? And we kind of worked our way through that one and the different varieties of answers you could explore there. And then he asked if he could clone himself, but it'd be a female instead of a male. And we couldn't really wrap our heads around it. I didn't want to explore that question out loud in the break room, but my instant reaction was, bro, you want to fuck, you want to fuck your fucking clone self. Like, you want to fuck the, like, why else would you ask if you could clone a female version of yourself?
Right.
So, Quinn, the question I want to flex back to you is, would you bang a female clone of yourself?
No, I can't. Yeah. And you wouldn't play Hunt over Pittman. Hunt's too touchdown dependent. So for sure, Michael Pittman is in the driver's seat to go. Sure. I can't trust Derrick Henry. So crazy to have a championship with Derrick Henry on your roster and on your starting lineup. So Daniel, big picture observations. Where do you see this 1 week matchup right now? Funny enough, we've been talking about how good Derek's team is, right? Yet on the projections, yeah, it's 113.8 to 121.24 in Scotty's favor. He's got a 54% chance of winning. I don't understand. Can you tell me why Sleeper thinks that our number one seeded man, who has better accuracy choices and has a more star-studded team in our eyes, is not scheduled to win?
Well, Quinn, I think the big difference you're speaking on is something that you honed in on in the last conversation. That's defense and special teams. If we take a look at the bottom of the starting lineup, Scotty's got Justin Tucker, Baltimore kicker, stalwart, top of class, projected for 11.7 points. As Baltimore gets Miami at home in what potentially could be a shootout, high-scoring affair, and across the board, one of everybody's favorite kickers, the central figure of the Q fiasco. I'm talking Young Hoo, the Atlanta Falcons kicker. That offense has just been too up and down. A lot of low-scoring affairs, and they're going against the Chicago Bears defense that looks better recently. And then if we compare defenses, Seattle against Pittsburgh, Sleeper's got the Seahawks squad figured for 9 points, while the Jets against Cleveland are only figured for 6. So right there, you've got 2 and 3. You got a 5-point differential right there. And then the aforementioned flex consideration between Mostert and Keenan Allen, Sleeper's got another 2 points going to Scotty in that lineup slot.
Well, Daniel, you've got a big matchup here in the Ray Lewis League. Who do you have?
I've been riding this team all season long, and sadly, Scott, it was great to meet you, but I gotta go with Derek in this one. I gotta go against Sleeper. I know it's Derek's favorite app, and so it probably pains him to have to go against the projections as well, but that's who I got. Team Anal Fisters.
All right, Team Anal Fisters. Well, Daniel, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And it's time for the Super League update. I'm excited to announce who is a part of the Fatal Four-Way Championship in 2023 for the Super League.
Yeah. And speaking of Fatal Four-Way, what was up with Derek's crush on Bud's wife at Fox Fest?
Right back.
This guy right there.
Yeah. Everybody, turn the camera on. This is
nephew Kyle. Turn the TikTok.
Yeah,
camera
Daniel.
On. It's actually, Bill Simmons.
Daniel, for the first time ever, Daniel, turn Boston the camera Celtics on.
And I'm not masturbating. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Vampire Journals podcast. And we're back, Daniel. Time for the Super League update. As you know, last week we were in our second round of the Super League tournament. That's our both leagues, Ray Lewis versus the Vampire League, in a 14-team Fatal Four-Way bracket that ends this week in the Fatal Four-Way Championship to decide who is the Super League champion for 2023. Last year it was the first year it was Andy. In 2021 and 2022, we had Jay Maggs as our Super League champion. And now this year, we're going to crown someone from either the Ray Lewis League or the Vampire League. So let's break down our results.
Yeah, Quinn, you know, prior to Sputnik 2, the Soviet Union and the United States had previously sent animals only on suborbital flights.
Right.
Russia trained 3 dogs for the Sputnik 2 flight, Albina, Mushka, and Laika. Soviet space life scientists Vladimir Yazdovsky and Oleg Gazenko trained the dogs. By comparison, the German Shepherd Bodhi had no formal training by NASA nor the United States military. They had only found the dog about a month prior, searching through the trash of an abandoned Australian Air Force base.
And with that, we start our... Fuck. What a story. So, it was last week. It was the first time that Derek Babb and Scotty, two Naughty Ballin', took part in either the Ray Lewis League playoffs or the Super League, because they both had byes as the number one and number two ranked members. In this case, in the Super League, Scotty went up the number nine Z Hood, who defeated Curtis Jackson in the first round of the Super League playoffs with his Ray Lewis squad after falling with his Vampire squad in the Vampire playoffs. So a nice little Ray Lewis versus Vampire moment, upset in the Ray Lewis League. D-Hud Kunzum against Scotty. And it's a funny story. These guys were playing for 1 week in the Ray Lewis playoffs, Daniel. And so in this case, Scotty was victorious.
Art imitating life, Super League. Imitating art.
Yeah, fun way that's on the bracket. So Scotty, welcome to the Fatal 4-Way. Now, that was a great matchup, but I'm going to give you an even better one. It was the number two seed, Derek Babb, came in and he scored the highest Ray Lewis score of the week. This week, he scored 139 points in the playoffs, and with the coefficient, that becomes 147.92. Now, Daniel, you had the higher last week in the Super League. Could you do it again? No, you couldn't. This last week in the Vampire League, the Vampire only put up from the 10 seed 113 points, so you lost by about 30. And Derek Babb waltzes himself into the Fatal 4-Way Championship. So that's two Ray Lewis teams at this point, Daniel. That's Derek and Scotty. That's Daniel Fisters and two Naughty Ballin' in the Fatal 4-Way. They're going to have some company, and that's going to come from the Vampire League, because last week we had a number three versus the number six seed competition in the bracket between two Vampire squads. It was the Bonafides, myself, Daniel, and Mr. Solo Dolo. I came in, did my best in this 1 week affair against Chase. I was also playing him in the playoffs to get into the championship for the Vampire League, and I fell in both. I only scored 99 points. I didn't even break 100 in either of my weeks in the Vampire League, Daniel. That's just not winning fantasy sports at all. I was outplayed by Kurt, with him dumping and tanking at the correct time, and honestly paying attention before the 5:15 game started and checking my app. You know, you learn these really simple but hard fucking lessons when you get called.
We talked about
these penalties.
Recording the podcast, we talked about the potential of your players not being able to play.
And I considered it, you know. And then this week, again, like you said, we talked about them not playing, and I didn't play Josh Jacobs, and it didn't really matter. I got outplayed ultimately over the last couple weeks and over the season with not having as strong a squad, not drafting the right guys and not making the right trades like Kurt and Chase did. You know, they made trades with a lot of people in the leagues, and so I got to give it to both of them. I only put up 99 points, and Mr. Solo Dolo put up 175 points in the Vampire League last week. So he had the highest score in the Super League this in the second round, and he finds himself in the Fatal 4-Way Championship. Solo Dolo, the Anal Fisters, and two Naughty Ballin'.
It's, you know, you just didn't have a lot of time, right? You didn't have a lot of time. And neither did the Russian dog Laika. Before the launch of Sputnik 2, Russian scientist Vladimir Yazdovsky took Laika home to play with his children. He wrote, "Laika was quiet and charming. I wanted to do something nice for her. She had so little time to live."
And Daniel, that takes us to our closest matchup from last week.
Laika was to be the flight dog, a sacrifice to science on a one-way mission to space, although others called it a one-way ticket to hell.
And that was the number four seed versus the number 12 seed. Daniel, on the bottom left of the bracket, we had Mr. El Trooper Cupra, representing the Vampire League in the fourth seed. Coming in, he was going to play the Johnsonville Chumps, number 12 in the bracket for the Super League, but also at the bottom of the league in the Ray Lewis League anyway. His ranking represented practically where he was ranked in the Ray Lewis League. No hopes at all to be in the playoff race for months now. Just having to look on towards next year to see what he might get in the Ray Lewis. But he had made it into the second round of the league with an upset, and he finds himself against El Trooper Cupra. Now, Daniel, El Trooper Cupra comes into the Vampire League in week 15, and he scored 111.44 points. So, Jesse, you scored 111.44 points in the Vampire League. And Johnsonville Chumps scored 106.02 points in the Ray Lewis League. Okay, so Tristan scores 106.02. Trooper Cupra scores 111.44. But there's a coefficient, Daniel, of 6.1%.
Oh, that pesky
bump.
Coefficient.
So when I did the coefficient, Daniel, it was a point difference of 1.05 points. It was just over a point difference on who won this game. And it goes to the Johnsonville champs. With the coefficient, he finishes 112.49 and sneaks his way from a 12 seed in the Super League. The worst team in the Ray Lewis League is in the Fatal Four-Way Championship. Daniel, due to seeding and due to the bracket and this, we have another darling this year that's made it in. Robbie last year, Tristan this year. Tristan, welcome to the Fatal Four-Way Championship. So in week 17, Daniel, it's the Fatal Four-Way between Scotty, Derek, Tristan from the Ray Lewis League, and Chase from the Vampire League. So this week, 1 week decides it. There's no more weeks in week for the Ray Lewis League, even though there is for the Vampire League. So it's all decided this week in this Fatal Four-Way Championship. And so the highest score of either all those four teams, with the coefficient included, whoever's got the highest score after this week will become the champion of the Super League. So, Daniel, observations. What are we looking at? Scotty, Derek, Tristan, and Chase. So the number one and number two guys in the Ray Lewis League, and then the last place competitor in the Ray Lewis League versus Chase, who finds himself in the championship of the Vampire.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that we've got some apples and apples, and we've got some apples and oranges, right? And I think that off the get-go, I just got done talking about I've got Derek over Scotty, which means I don't have Scotty here, right?
Right.
And I've taken Kurt over Chase, which helps me establish a little bit of value for Chase, potentially. So I think the Johnsonville chump is the wild card. He's the one that we're looking out for. He's the Robbie in wolf's clothing, so to speak. Let me take one quick snapshot. Tua, Etienne, Connor, Jefferson, Metcalf, Goddard, Adams. That's a high upside roster.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeper gives Tristan a forecast of 115, Derek 113, but I think Derek will beat his projection. I got, you know, if I'm going to ride it, I got to ride it all the way. I got D-Bab. I got anal fisters in the championship here.
All right. I'm going to give...
Chase had managed to hang on to Christian McCaffrey, it might be a different story, but he didn't.
Yep. Yeah, Chase finds himself with a high ranking in the Super League because of his season-long scoring with McCaffrey until he came up against you later in the season in the Vampire League. And he lost to the Vampire in that week, and you stole McCaffrey from him. So he had McCaffrey for a lot of his wins. Let's put it that way. He also had Cole Kmet for a lot of his wins, too. Dude. But
Could have had two.
You know, Koo put up 24 points last week, too. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm going to put my money on the Vampire League. I think Chase, you know, we've talked about the touchdown possibilities for all his players. I'm going to say for this part of the broadcast, let's go Super League. Let's go Vampire League. Fuck the coefficient. Just outscore the motherfuckers outright and go win the damn thing, Chase. Be a champion. Get yourself a chip. I like losing champion, so I'm going for you. You know, I got you. I got my real money on you, Chase, in this one. So let's go see it. So,
in the 14 Dynasty League, Shady Nast. It's like you're projected to lose in the finals to Team D-Week 999, as Daniel looks to be the second two-time league champion along with Steven. Chase is co-commissioner, has never won the league. What do you got to do in this two-week final to win in this league that Andy's really curious about, but we always kind of shield information from him about it?
Yeah, so this Dynasty League, it's something I'm pretty proud of. I got to get some touchdowns this week. I think last week I was without them. The previous week that got me into the championship, I had plenty. So, yeah, it really comes down to McCaffrey and Austin Eckler and James Cook, CeeDee Lamb, you know, and Antonio Brown. This Dynasty League's so small. We got everybody, you know. I think everybody needs to show up to the party this week. And I'm giving George Pickens some respect. I'm putting him in the starting lineup where I didn't do it in other leagues that I have George Pickens in. I'm respecting him in the Jet Dynasty. He deserves to play in this championship of this league. And, you know, I knew I should keep him for a reason. There are thoughts of dropping him. But, yeah, dude, the fact that he got 35 points on 4 catches last week is fucking ridiculous. So, you know, if this new third-string quarterback, you know, chemistry is real, then hopefully that'll work. But
well, damn, Quinn, that's it.
That about does it. We are getting to the final weeks, and it's about time for what we say in the podcast business, which is ciao bello,
ciao bacci.
Happy New Year, folks.
Happy New Year.